The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Well, that was funny. You press play on a thing and it doesn't play. I'm going to have to complain to the engineer about that failure.
Wonder who that is.
Yeah, it's one after the hour, and this is KTQA LP 95.3 FM Tacoma. It's 3 p.m., and that means it's the Daily Briefing with me, Sam, and as usual, Becky. How are you?
I'm excited because I got a three-day weekend.
Oh, honestly, doesn't sound that exciting to me.
Yeah, okay. Fair, I'm trying to look up it.
You get to stay home!
True.
I have a hot soldering iron that I'd very much like to return to, so I'm excited about that, because I had a very weird experience with my laptop.
You did? Yeah. That was bizarre.
So it goes a little bit like this. I bought a laptop about 3 months ago because I set my last one on fire, and that's a mistake. And and so we found a nice used one online and we ordered it, and it came in, and it had a power supply I wasn't too sure of. You know, the brick that you plug into the wall.
Seems like for good reason, it turns out.
Yeah,
I guess.
And it developed a rattle. And it became hot enough to boil tea on, I found. It got real hot, hotter than I've ever...
Then that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, that ain't supposed to happen. And so the thing about those laptop bricks is that they're glued together, and so I have to use C-clamps to sort of crack them open and get at the tasty innards. And I did, and I cracked it open like an egg, and a capacitor fell out. It had gotten so hot that it had desoldered components off the power supply.
Yeah, again, that ain't supposed to happen.
That's bad. that's something in the business we call bad.
Very
and,
technical term.
Yeah,
and technical people.
And so I don't have this laptop power supply in stock right now. My laptop is different from the ones that we're giving away. But I do have a lot of spare laptop power supplies, so I'm trying to kitbash one together. And now I'm trying to get around my laptop maker's crazy copy protection for power supplies, because it not only the power supplies, modern power supplies and laptops only supply you with power, but they also supply you with information about the power supply so that the computer can know what kind of power supply is connected. Can you hear the air quotes? But it's really just sort of a lock-in sales technique. And so I'm trying to get around that right now. And I'd very much like to get back to that, because I'd like a functional laptop.
Well, if you'd like to get back to that, should I start the briefing?
Is there anything else interesting going on around the house? Because I've been up here sweating literally in front of the soldering iron all day.
I don't think so. I'm just excited to stay home for 3 days. No.
Fair enough. Well, to not be in Zoom. I can respect that rest.
Yes, it's to not have to open that work computer and melt your eyes looking at video conferencing.
Yeah, I can
three whole days.
I can respect that, but it a 3 day weekend just doesn't seem as enticing as it did in times past. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, Sam.
All right, why don't we get to it?
All right. Well, state level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing a coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online.
All right, moving on to state updates. Oh boy. Before I do that, I want to make sure of something. There we go. Adams, Grays Harbor, Lewis, and Spokane counties have been authorized to move to phase two of reopening, bringing the total number of counties in Washington state to 14. Both King and Pierce counties, basically our listening area, remain in phase one. The State Employment Security Department is assuring Washingtonians that while our state may have been targeted by a fraudulent unemployment claim scheme, no breach of the ESD system has occurred and no information has been stolen from the ESD. Fraudsters, there's a word, appear to have used information previously stolen from other sources, including the 2017 Equifax data breach, to file false claims. Info on how to report fraud is found at the ESD website at esd.wa.gov and via phone at 1-800-246-9763, but expect long wait times for the phone line. ESD recommends setting up an account on its site, even by employed individuals, so the department can send out alerts if fraudulent claims are being filed using one's social security number.
We got to stick Johnny Dollar on that case, don't we?
Yeah. I keep reading it as electrostatic discharge, too. Per order of the state health insurance commissioners, all state-regulated health insurers are required to continue the following practices at least through June 21st. Cover expanded telehealth options. Cover all medically necessary diagnostic testing for flu and other viral respiratory illnesses. Bill during a provider visit for COVID-19 without copay, coinsurance, or deductible. Treat drive-up testing sites for COVID-19 as a provider visit with no copay, coinsurance, or deductible, and waive or expedite prior authorization requirements for home health care or long-term care facility services in a sentence that does not end in copay, coinsurance, or deductible. The Transportation Safety Administration has announced that air travelers in the state should expect changes in airport security screening. Travelers may be instructed to use the pass reader on the podium, the only podium, to scan both paper and electronic boarding passes instead of handing them to the TSA officer. You may be asked to place carry-on food items in clear plastic bags and place those bags into a separate bin at the checkpoint. Prepare to maintain a 6-foot distance between yourself, employees, and other travelers throughout the screening and the waiting process. As feasible, place items from pockets like keys, wallets, and cell phones into carry-on luggage to reduce frequent touching of bins during screening.
Of course, it's only one podium. If there were more than one, it would be the podia.
I just like there's one podium, and they keep moving it from airport to airport, and no one can move unless the podium is... Why am I being such a...
You're being a little silly.
I'm being a little snarky today, aren't I? Yeah.
You're excited for the 3-day weekend.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, some of you might be spending your 3-day weekend out by Mount Rainier, and we've got some news from there. The Washington State Department of Transportation has opened state routes 410 and 123 between Enumclaw and Packwood. Visitors to Mount Rainier National Park can now access trailheads along those roads and hike in the park, making sure to park vehicles in designated roadside parking areas. Except for the Nisqually Road to Paradise, park roads are open only to non-motorized vehicles like bicycles unless snow plowing is occurring or unless otherwise posted. Visitors should expect limited restroom facilities and be prepared to pack out your trash. The Nisqually entrance to the park does remain closed, as does State Route 410 East over Chinook Pass to Yakima. No recreation above 10,500 feet is permitted at Mount Rainier. And more information and updates can be found at nps.gov/MORA and on Twitter at Mount Rainier NPS.
All right, moving away from the mountain to the city. Mary Bridge Children's Hospital has published resources and videos aimed at helping parents and caretakers talk to children about personal protective equipment, cloth face coverings, and other ways to protect oneself from infection. Information can be found at marybridge.org/COVID-19. The Tacoma City Council is postponing the 34th Annual City of Destiny Awards, originally slated to take place this May, for later in the summer as a virtual ceremony. The format will highlight this year's award recipients and feature local performers. Information on the date and time of the ceremony will be released at a later date. This Sunday, so 2 days from now?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes, middle of our 3-day weekend.
I got something about time right. Check that out. This Sunday, Second Cycle Community Bike Center is hosting a Bike and Seek event where cyclists of all ages and experience levels are encouraged to bike around the city looking for prizes that will be hidden in 6 exciting locations. And different ones, too. Clues for each location will be announced on the day of the event at 1 p.m. via Second Cycle's Facebook page. You talked about this in an interview at one point, didn't you?
We did, yeah. I was excited to have Noah Struthers a few weeks ago talking about Second Cycle. And the Bike and Seek event was something that was in the works. There's also periodic events that Second Cycle is promoting and, you know, hosting, so we can promote some fitness. Because, like you said, biking is a really good socially distant activity.
Yes, it is. Also, copay, coinsurance, or deductible.
Gotcha. I'll post that on the podium.
Yeah, put that on the podium, please.
Sometimes announcements and bulletins get a little bit repetitive. What can I say?
Hey,
What can I say?
This is not, like I said, I'm just being weird today. This is nothing. These are the things that are happening in our area.
Well, you did have a capacitor melt out of your laptop charger, so I don't know.
That was not unique. That has happened to me before, but it is an experience. You know, at first you go, huh, that's funny. And then you go, hey, I lived through that. I didn't catch my house on fire.
Well, and we're glad for that.
Yeah. So I'm going to get back to it. And
I've got an interview.
Yeah, you got an interview. Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources through the United Way. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to the interview.
With me this afternoon is Gabriel Silberblatt. He's the Director of Strategy and Planning with BDS Planning and Urban Design, the firm tasked with engaging the community around McKinley's historic Galt Middle School site. Thank you for joining me today, Gabriel.
Hi there, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, the Tacoma Housing Authority and Tacoma Public Schools are in the initial planning stages of really what to do with Galt Middle School. It last saw students in 2009, and community voice is really key to shaping what the site will look like and how it will function. And I think that's where you come in. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're at the beginning stages of a partnership between the Tacoma Housing Authority and the Tacoma Public Schools. And right now, the property is still in the still belongs to the Tacoma Public School District, and the hope is there can be some agreement to transfer that property over to the Housing Authority and to redevelop the site in a way that is consistent with community priorities and a way that fulfills the mission of the Housing Authority at the same time. So right now we're in early stages of getting community feedback on precisely that and trying to listen to a variety of diverse voices in that process to help inform the ultimate decision of whether the Tacoma Housing Authority will take over that site.
Now, community priorities can be a really, really broad thing to look at. Who do you consider when you're looking at, quote, the community? And what's considered a priority versus maybe an interest or a pipe dream?
Yeah, absolutely. We know the East Side is a very diverse community and has many, many facets to it. And we're partnered, my firm, which has engaged with community process on the East Side in the past with Salishan and with the Arlington Drive campus, which is just down the hill from this site. So we know a little bit about the community from that process. And we are partnered with Safe Streets in Tacoma, who are doing real on the ground as much as is possible these days, real on the ground kind of outreach to different voices. So it's a good question in terms of who we consider part of the community. Really, basically anybody that has a real vested interest or connection to this site. And, you know, that can mean, for sure, it's going to mean neighbors and community groups and residents that are really right there adjacent to the property. But it also means folks who have who either were attending Galt at some point, might be an alum and remember it from the past, but don't live there anymore. It also means for the Housing Authority, especially, and the school district, it means nonprofit partners, especially those that might be interested in locating offices or services at a newly developed Galt. So that's another really important group and slice of the community that we're looking at. We always like to focus on local faith leaders and engaging churches and other faith-based organizations in talking about the future for the project. We'll engage with Puyallup tribal leaders through interviews and then hopefully through a further engagement. And it also means local public officials and elected leadership, like Council Member Pushka.
Now, what are some of the challenges that you're facing? I mean, apart from the fact that you can't really hit the ground running literally because we're socially distancing from one another.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time to be working on a community engagement project, that's for sure. We're not having meetings or focus groups or listening sessions in person, which was initially the plan, but we are getting really good active engagement on our web survey, which is up. And the web survey is not intended just to be a place to for folks to tell us what they want to see at Galt. It's also intended to be a place where folks who want to be more involved later on in the planning process can explain how they would like to be engaged, in what manner and in what formats, and where how they feel safe. So the survey is really intended to do two things, and one is to find out, you know, what their priorities and individual hopes are for the site. But the second part is really just trying to capture as many people a better understanding of how people would like to engage during this time. We have some ideas. We've been facilitating on other projects a lot of kind of virtually based small group discussions on video conference, which works great if you have internet and a stable connection and the tools at your disposal. But not all community members want to or are able to or want to engage that way. So, you know, we're trying to go through our existing, you know, with Safe Streets and with others, go through our existing channels to find out how folks really want to be engaged during this time of social distancing. And it's kind of a listening session. It's a listening, we're in a listening mode at this point. So we're hopefully get some good feedback about what that looks like.
You mentioned the survey. What's the best way that folks can enter that survey, find it, click on it, go do the survey?
Yeah. So I would say the very easiest thing to do would just be a Google Galt and Safe Street, and you'll end up on the Safe Streets Facebook page. They've got lots of information about this survey, and everyone's been finding it there. So I would just go to the Safe Street Facebook page, and you'll find it right there. It's pinned right at the top. So I would say that would be the easiest, fastest way for RP folks to find the survey and find out more information about what's underway.
Now, Gabriel, is there anything that you're in listening mode that's come your way that you just think is like really innovative, something that you haven't heard before? Are you allowed to share any of those little previews?
It would be really, I would love to share. I would love to have done more of a deep dive on those. We have over 130 responses to the survey at this point, and we're going to be doing a deep dive on all the answers. We haven't done that deep dive yet, but they're still rolling in. Some of the really appealing, interesting ideas that come off the top that I can remember are doing some sort of, a lot of folks have made reference to urban agriculture, doing something that can be a community-based place for growing food. There's just a lot of square footage there with the site, and it has terrific sunlight, and obviously the views from the play field are terrific. And so there have been some that have talked about a community garden or some sort of, but not just a garden where you plant flowers or a couple things here and there, but something that could really produce quite a lot of food. And that has been a theme I've heard in other conversations about kind of, you know, making our local communities more resilient right now where supply chains are all messed up. And so I guess that's a tidbit I would share, is that this notion of like some sort of sustainable community agriculture as being a component of the site was just something that was interesting that I have seen a little bit of, but we'll need to do a deep dive on all the responses and see what's rising to the top.
You said there's about 130 respondents right now, but certainly there's way more than 130 residents of McKinley Hill neighborhood and whatnot. And how long is the survey open for?
We plan to keep the survey open a few more weeks. We've been getting really good responses, and we're only, you know, we're still pushing it out in different ways to get it into different community members. We're also asking for demographic information with that survey. It's optional, but a lot of people are choosing to provide that. And so that'll help us to understand, you know, who is represented by this survey and who's not represented by this survey, because our intention is to make the input process be as truly representative of the East Side and the McKinley neighborhood as we can. And so that helps us when folks take the survey, if they leave their demographic information, we know, you know, what slices of the population are there but that are not participating, and we'll find ways to reach those people that are not participating in different ways. So that's our hope and our intention.
Well, you stumbled right into my question that I was going to ask you, which is that research that you have to do to make sure that you're really keyed into the concerns and needs and assets of all of the residents and stakeholders. Because I imagine that it's hard if folks are looking at, if you're doing that deep dive of the survey data and you realize that you are completely missing the voice of a whole demographic, whether it's right. Our elders or a particular racial or ethnic group or folks not associated with the schools or things like that, then it might provide or pose some challenges for next steps of, well, then how do you reach those folks that didn't respond to the survey?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, that's why we ask so many questions about folks' background and, you know, whether they rent or own their home, whether, you know, their age, how they identify in terms of their race or ethnicity. So, you know, we have all that information, and, you know, we can find the holes and we can tailor strategies going forward that are focused on those that we're not hearing from and make sure that we're balancing the voices that may be overrepresented in the survey. That's our hope and our intention. And I can tell you right off the bat that we definitely need work on the under 24 demographic for the survey. That's one that's definitely been lagging. And so, you know, if your listeners that are under 24 and care about golf, they should find our survey and take it. And we'll be, but otherwise we'll be certainly tailoring some strategic engagement around that demographic group, especially given the history of the site and, you know, the community members that will have the most benefit from a new golf site will be those of us that are younger. So young people are going to be a really important part of this.
Well, Gabriel, is there anything else that you'd like to share with KTQA listeners about how they might be able to engage in the plan for what becomes of the Galt Middle School site?
I would say get out there, take that survey, and let us know. And especially on, you know, our hope is that we can convene some listening sessions either in person in a socially distant, safe way in the future, or in the more immediate term, online, do some sort of small listening sessions. And so, you know, the way we're going to know if you're interested in doing that is if you get on there and leave your information with the survey and turn out for that. So that's I guess what I would say at the moment is let us know if you want to stay involved or if you just want to leave your response, you know, to the survey.
And we can find that survey easiest by using a search engine to find Galt, G-A-U-L-T, and Safe Streets. Is that right?
That's right. You'll find it.
Well, thank you so much, Gabriel, for joining me today on KTQA Daily Briefing.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Appreciate it.
Gabriel Silberblatt is the Director of Strategy and Planning with BDS Planning and Urban Design, the firm tasked with getting community voice and input on restoring and renewing McKinley's historic Galt Middle School site.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. See you Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.